We're just postponing then the youth thing, Steph. We're not, are we having youth tonight or no? Okay. I guess we're just postponing that for another week then. All right, John chapter 12. By the way, since she's not in the room right now, have you noticed what a treasure Libby is to us, Pastor Libby? She's got a right heart. I like the way she opens a service better than the way I open a service. And because you can sense there's a genuineness there, a connection with God. She wants to be pleasing to the Lord. And thank the Lord for her, for Steph. Steph is our administrator around here, does so much that is helpful. The Lord has really blessed us with grace. The worship team that we have, I've always marveled that here we are, we're just a little country church out here in the boondocks, and we've got a worship team like this. God has been good to us, so thank you. And a couple of pastors, yeah. So. And all these nice people. So we're doing really well, thank God. John chapter 12, if you've got your Bible or device. You know, I find it fascinating that what is a blessing to one person totally irritates another. And in fact, it's fascinating too how irritating one person can be to a lot of people. We have a house diagonal out the back of our place. We affectionately refer to it as the loud house. If there's booming in the middle of the night, if there's screaming, if there's anything that makes noise, it's coming. They have four dogs. And when they let their dogs out, the whole neighborhood knows it. These dogs fight and snarl and bark and growl. And after they're done beating each other up, they disperse into each neighbor's yard to attack your dog or cat or whatever else is going on. And just, you know, I'm sure they're having a good time at the loud house. But then there's the rest of the neighborhood of all this. And in the church, you would think that, okay, we're all born again, filled with the same spirit. You'd think we would just think so much alike, and everything that blessed us would bless everybody else in the body. Not so. We even have churches now that have a contemporary service and a traditional service because, you know, the old hymns and choruses thing. If we sang all hymns this morning, some of us would just be in our glory, think that we had just entered into heaven. That is just so rich and deep and reaches into our tradition, and we love that. And other people would be standing around thinking, when are we going to start the real worship? And then if we do all choruses, there are folks just appreciating a fresh approach to sing a new song to the Lord. But we got other people who are saying, oh, I long for the good old days when we really got deep in the meaning of the richness of the hymns and all of that. We've had times when little kids have come up front during worship and done a little dance and just kind of enjoyed it. And while they're doing that, we have some members of the congregation, their hearts are just melting and they got tears. This is so beautiful. I love to see the children worshiping like that. And we've got other adults standing back. You know, the ones, they got their goosebumps, they're so excited. And then the others, the hair is raising up on the back of their neck. They're thinking, whose children are those? Can't they control their hair? Why, when I was a kid, you were seen and not heard. You know, same congregation, same things going on. Two different reactions from folk. I can preach the same message. And maybe this introduction even upsets you. Some people are really blessed and others are really, you know, angry over it. Same word, we're all Christians born again. Even Paul and Peter had their falling out. My heart, can't we all just get along? Well, one thing I've learned, a lot of times when I'm annoyed by something, the Holy Spirit is trying to get my attention. I may even think that I've got the godly stance on this. And while I'm annoyed, the Lord begins to peel back layers. Okay, Joel, why did that upset you? Should that have upset you? What do you think they may be thinking? Okay, well, you're right, Lord. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have got all my nose out of joint over something like that. Well, John chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. What we're going to learn today is you can't please everybody all of the time. You may not even be able to please yourself. 6 days before the Passover, that's important, 6 days before Passover, Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. Father, fill the house today with you. We have our opinions already. What we need is yours. We need to be adjusted to you. And so we come with an open heart and with an open mind. Lord, mess with us again. Do with us as you will. But may we go home knowing we've met with you. We've kind of been in Holy Spirit school, and we learned something really neat today. And we'll thank you for your help in all that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you were with us last week, we looked at a group of people who came a week early to Passover to prepare for it. There were some physical things that needed to be done, groceries bought, a room rented, and all of that. But more importantly, they came to be prepared spiritually. They wanted to go through rites of purification and get their hearts and minds right for when Passover was really celebrated. Then they could be in the moment and they could really worship God with a whole heart. Well, these folk who came early to the festivals, they kind of got used to finding Jesus had come early as well. And when they came, the big question around was, have you seen Jesus? Is Jesus coming? They got a little frustrated, and they finally said, isn't he coming to the festival at all? They're expecting Jesus. You've got people who are looking for him. They've got needs. They've brought people with needs. And they're there for the Passover, yes, but more importantly, they want to see Jesus. Jesus, you're wanted over here. Well, where's Jesus? Jesus is about 6 miles away in a little town called Bethany, and he's at a dinner party. Hey, come on now, step it up, Jesus. There's a whole bunch of people over here. You came to minister and to heal, and these people need that. The people you're having dinner with, they've pretty much got it all together already. They love you, and they're supporters of you no matter what. And you're not where we're expecting you to be right now. Jesus was delighting some even while he was disappointing others. So here's the first epiphany to you today. Not even Jesus, when he was in his bodily form, could please everybody all the time. He could only be in one place or the other. And while he was making somebody happy, he was making a bunch of other people frustrated. Where's he at? I need him. When you're expecting someone and they don't show up, how does it make you feel? Now, of course, it depends on the person. It may be a relief for some. Oh, phew. But they're going to pick you up, and they're not here yet. How many immediately your thoughts are, oh, I hope they're okay. I just pray that nothing bad has happened to them. And when they get here, I'm going to be so happy with them. Oh, they're a half hour late already. Gee, I'm starting to get very concerned for them, and so on. Maybe you invited somebody for dinner, and you cooked for a couple of hours, and everything's just right, and you get a call at the last minute. Oh, I'm sorry. We got an invite somewhere else, and we decided we're going there instead. It's okay. Maybe we'll do it again sometime. When you're expecting something out of somebody and they're not delivering, it's not good. So even while Jesus was blessing some, others were not. Can you give yourself a pass that you're not pleasing everybody all the time? If you have two kids, how many can you be paying attention to at any given time? We just got a little dog at our house. He doesn't like it when we're hugging. He thinks he ought to have all the hugs. No fair hugging somebody else. That's not, you can't please everybody all the time. So Martha was busy preparing the meal, but she's cool with it this time. She's not worried about where's Mary. She's just working in her gifting. Lazarus is reclining at the table with Jesus because this party is in his honor for having raised Lazarus from the dead. So that's all right. And there's a bunch of other guests around. Everybody at this party is a follower of Jesus. They're into Jesus. This is good. This is not. There's no enemy present. They're all pro-Jesus in this thing. McLaren notes, he's a commentator, that even though Jesus was in full going to Jerusalem to die mode, this is going to happen within the next week, he's going to be crucified. He knows this is happening. He's in full ready to die mode. He's resolute, sometimes in tears, exhibiting a more serious tone than usual. He was able to enter into the spirit of the hour. They're throwing a party in his honor. He's going with it. He's there. And he's enjoying the company of those that love him. Ahead are so many confrontations with the enemy. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Herodians, they've all got their question. They're all going to take their shot at him. They're conniving to have him killed, have him crucified. There's the Garden of Gethsemane. He's going to agonize as the sin of the world is placed upon his pure soul. The arrest, the trial, the betrayal of the crowd. Crucify him, crucify him. The lashes on his back, plucking out his beard, spit on. Finally, the crucifixion itself. All that is next week. But here's a moment of reprieve. Some friends have opened up their house and they've invited everybody in for a good meal. Martha has outdone herself. The food is delicious. The friendship is sweet and dear. And Jesus is able to enjoy the moment. Now, to be clear, Jesus was on the Father's clock. He didn't do anything outside the Father's will. If the Father wanted him at the temple healing those people and preaching, that's where he would have been. The Father wanted him at the party before the cross, which maybe have been a bit of a trial in itself. But he was able to enjoy that. It was part of God's plan. Enjoying food, enjoying friends. How many would be willing to eat to please God? I don't mean eat vegetables to please. I mean eat. Have a party. Kill the fatted calf, you know, barbecue. Dessert. Three layers. Well, I better not go there. Ministry doesn't have to be a burden in order to be effective. Jesus could have been over the temple healing sick people, preaching to people who were lost. That would have been great effective ministry. But there was effective ministry just being with the choir, being with the people of like precious faith, enjoying the moment. We don't always have to be somewhere other to be effective. Sometimes God has us right in our own home. We may have our noses pressed up against the glass and, well, I should be over here. I should be. They're expecting me here, and I told them I would get that done. You can't be everywhere all the time. You're not going to be everywhere everybody expects you to be. You are going to disappoint people sometimes. Now, let me give you a little hint here. One of the reasons you disappoint people is because you're a good person. If you were a jerk, they wouldn't want you around. You would make them happy by staying away. But the more effective you are and the better worker you are, the more people are going to want you to be there. I was hoping they would come. I was wishing you were here. I was sorry when I didn't see you. If they're ever saying, boy, was I glad you didn't show up. You're, you know, but that's probably an easier life to live. So if you don't want to be in so demand, start messing up. You know, wear your muddy shoes right into their living room. See if you get invited back. All that kind of stuff. And Jesus was it. I mean, he was great. He was healing people, helping people, all the time. So they wanted him. And the more you're wanted, the more disappointing you're going to be to a lot of people. Yeah, that divided attention and feel torn in different directions. But it's all right for you as much as you are in demand. The kids want your attention, the husband or the wife at work, all this and that. It's okay to enjoy dinner. It's okay to turn it off for an hour and relax and get a little bit of strength. You don't have to just keep pouring out and pouring out and pouring out and thinking that's God's will. Sometimes it's God's will for you to just put your feet up, lay back, and take a wonderful nap. Hallelujah. And sometimes your ministry is right within the walls of your... Sometimes your ministry is to your own body. Before you take care of everything and everybody, don't be carrying the guilt and what, that's what's killing you. It's not the work itself, the labor. It's what we put our minds through, our spirits through, when we're worried about who's thinking what about us. You know, you got to get to, I came to the point a long time ago, I'm an idiot. So what if they think I'm an idiot? They just found out the truth. Yeah, they're talking about me behind my back because I'm fascinating. I talk about them too. They're fascinating. It's just the way life is. You know, you can love somebody and know what their faults are and all of that. And ministry does not have to be a burden in order to be effective. Some of your greatest memories from when you were a kid was probably a family vacation. Now that you're an adult, good luck enjoying a vacation. You know, my son told me, he has a friend who told him, they're getting ready for a vacation. They got the car packed. The wife's in the passenger seat. He's got the one kid in the car seat. He puts the other kid in the car seat, closes the door. He walks around the car on his way to his, he said, that's his vacation, that walk from having closed the door until he gets into the driver's seat, because, you know, can you say amen to that? Amen. And so when you were a kid, you know, and so as a parent, you think, why do we spend all this money, and why do I go there anyway, and why it didn't turn out the way I expected it to, and so on. When I was newly born, my mom and dad bought their house that they owned for 60-some years. And my mother actually carried me across a swing bridge. They didn't have a real bridge for the car just yet, on a rope bridge to the house for the first time. And I loved that property. There was us and a neighbor and woods all around. Every deer I ever killed was from that woods. There was a stream that came through the property, so we fished in that. And we, you know, muddied it up all the time, and learned later that everybody's sewer also emptied into it. But anyway, you had a 10 from the, but I love that property. I just couldn't think of growing up anywhere else. And I was amazed that at the end of my life, my dad hated that property. Couldn't wait to get out of it. The neighbors were this and the neighbors were that. And it just kind of broke my heart, but I just thought it was, and he was kind of apologizing to us kids that, you know, he didn't do better for us. And we're like, what are you talking about? This is tremendous. This was, you know, it doesn't have to be a burden. So, yeah, you know, go ahead and live in the moment. Take the kids with you. Be extravagant every once in a while. I know time flies for us like it's ridiculous, but for a kid, you spend a day with them, they'll never forget that. I remember when grandma or grandpa took me here or there or did this or that. And it's an investment in the rest of their lives. And when we're thinking ministry, well, I should go preach to somebody or start a mission over here. No, sometimes it's just a smile or a look in somebody's face and say, hey, how you doing? And stopping and listening and praying for them. And it doesn't have to be burdensome. It doesn't have to be heavy in order to count for life or in heaven. Let me tell you, life is full of dinner parties and crucifixions. Your next cross is coming. Don't let that stop you from enjoying dinner tonight. Don't let that stop you from enjoying your kid giggling. Have you ever been worried about something and the kid is having a good time or whatever and you snap at him? Then you feel like a jerk afterwards because, you know, it's your stuff, not theirs, and all of that. Your next cross is coming. You probably know what your next cross is. Maybe you've got a date for surgery coming up, and everything you're thinking is around that date for surgery. You think, well, and I need to get this done and that done and this ready before, you know, some of you ladies might be, I got to cook 6 months worth of meals and put them in the freezer and label them because my husband can't find a thing even though it's right in front of him. Whatever, and you've got to, and you're thinking, boy, if I can just get past Tuesday, my life's going to be so much better. I've got this deadline at work or this project I'm trying to finish up at home, or they're delivering the washer by Thursday. Got to have it all plumbed out. Whatever it is, you've got a cross that's looming. You can't wait to get past it, but there's time. And shame on us when we allow what's happening next Thursday to steal the whole week up until Thursday gets here. You know what I mean? And I know you got your crosses. They're coming. Everybody's got their stuff. Everybody. Don't think yours is worse than anybody else's. We all got our stuff. And also, not only do you have your crosses, everybody you love has their cross too. Now you might think, oh, you got your tiny little cross. Oh, you got a math test tomorrow. Well, let me tell you what I got to go do tomorrow. When do you remember when you used to have math tests and what that was like? And everybody's got, maybe they're going to visit a specialist, or maybe they're having a biopsy done, or whatever. Don't just poo-poo that. Walk in their shoes for a little bit. Oh, man, wow, that must be heavy. That must be something that you have to go through. But don't let your cross overshadow your dinner party. Enter in, enjoy, embrace, care for others and what they're going through. You'll find that'll lift your burden like nothing else. And enjoy the good times because the bad times are coming. I often say, laugh when you can laugh because you're going to cry when you need to cry. It's just going to happen. So embrace every moment that you can. So Jesus is here. He's room full of people. He didn't fully embrace anybody because he knew what was in the heart of a person. You know, he didn't really let down his guard the whole way. But at the same time, when one of us passed away, he cried. You know? He cared. He loved. He was with them in this moment. He wasn't with the people. He wasn't sitting at the dinner party saying, well, you know I got a lot of people over at the temple waiting for me. I can just imagine what kind of a day I'm going to have when I get there and all these people are going to line up. You know what it's like when they're all dependent on you? No. He wasn't living tomorrow today. He was in the day. Looking around at the table, having conversation with the folk who were there. People. Can't live with them. Can't live without them. In so many ways, each of us walks our journey alone. How often have you been out on a little walk, maybe you're talking to the dog, and just, oh, man, can you believe her? Can you believe what he said? What are we going to do about this? What are we going to do about it? Boy, nobody has any clue as to what. You know, I tried to talk to so-and-so, and they're oblivious. They give you these cliches or whatever. Nobody knows. In a very real sense, each of us walks our journey alone. But we find purpose and meaning when we share other people's burdens. Okay, preacher, so let me get this right. Nobody is here for me, but I'm supposed to be here for everybody else. Yes, that's right. Now we're starting to understand Jesus' mission. Who did he bleed to? Well, you know what it's like to come from heaven and live with people? You know what it's like to have lived with the angels and then come down with mankind? Yeah, I know how you feel, Jesus. No. But Jesus didn't come to be served, but to serve and to be a ransom for many. He came to be broken so that we could be whole. And you know what? When you're his child, that's your mission too. You're not here to get stronger and better and bigger and richer and whatever. You're here to be food for others. Now, he'll build you up as you pour out, but that's not our call. Yeah, you are here for everybody. Oh, I have to do everything. Good. Thank God you can. Thank God you got a place. Be happy in your service for the Lord. So I'm thinking about this whole thing. They're having a dinner party. They're sitting around. What would that be like? What were they talking about? What kind of a conversation? You know, I'm kind of thinking that Jesus was fun. He was many things, but he was also fun. I don't think that they were sitting around having a deep theological debate. Well, how about it, Jesus? You know, if a guy was married and then he dies and his widow marries his brother and so on, well, how does that... So I'm just kind of thinking off the top of my head, imagining the conversation it might have been, you know? Guys hanging out around the table. Martha is wowing them with course after course. This is delicious, Martha. That's the best I ever tasted. What special did you do with it? Well, I added a little bit of garlic, you know. And I could see Jesus just laying back and telling them a story about back when he was a carpenter, you know. Well, we made this table for a lady, and Jude was the one that was chosen to deliver. Dad said, you know, go deliver the table. So he gets it up on the cart, and he's on his way to the lady's house, and a fox cuts the donkey off, and the donkey goes berserk, cuts off the trail down a little embankment through a creek and out into Micah's wheat field. And old Jude's just hanging on for dear life. He's got the wagon with one hand and the table with the other, and he's just promising God everything if he'll just live through this experience. And finally the donkey comes to a stop. They've got wheat all over the cart, all over the donkey is plastered with wheat, some from sweat and some from the mud from the creek. And then they come pulling up in front of this lady's house to deliver the table. She opens the door Jude doesn't say a word. He just carries the table in, sets it in the middle, and walks out and is on his way. And I can see the table laughing and having a good time over what had taken place. And then all of a sudden there's this crack, this tremendous crack, the breaking of a jar. And everybody looks around to see what just happened. And there's Mary, she's on her knees, she's behind Jesus, and she's pouring out this rich perfume and begins to wipe his feet with her hair. And the fragrance, did you catch that in the text? The fragrance filled the room, and everybody has just stopped in what they were doing. I can imagine Martha, she's got the next course in her hand and on a tray, and she just stops, and she sees what Mary's doing. And a little tear trickles down the side. Good girl, Mary, that's good. And Lazarus, I can imagine him being filled with pride as he sees his sister pouring out this act of worship. You know, they probably got together before the dinner party and figured it out. Here's what we're going to cook, and wants you to do this and you to do that. But they hadn't been thinking, okay, and Mary, we want you to pour perfume on his feet at this part of the dinner. I believe it was more spontaneous than that. I believe she was caught up in the moment and just loving on the Lord and thought about the felt moved to the Holy Spirit to go and do this thing. And so she's pouring out the perfume. She's pouring out love there on Jesus' feet. But there's dead silence as that fragrance fills the room. And I can imagine a melting. First, there's the shock of what's she doing? What is she doing? Why? Oh, and it hits them one at a time. And as Jesus sees what's going on, he breaks out in a big smile. The Father has orchestrated this to prepare him for what's ahead. And Mary has been a willing vessel. Have you ever felt loved? I know a lot of people, I have no friends, nobody cares about it. Yeah. Have you ever felt loved and just received it? And Jesus was receiving it in that moment. I am loved. Hallelujah. And it was all good. And I can imagine hearts melting around that table. Maybe even some of them thinking, I should have done that. That's good. I wish I was the one that thought to do that. That's really special. That's really sweet. And maybe worship is really starting to well up within them. Maybe even a chorus is just about to break out. And then Judas speaks up. We don't pour perfume on people's feet. What's wrong with you? That's an expensive. We could have sold that a year's wages. We could have given it to the poor. You know how much we could have done with that? What a waste. And so momentum begins to swing the other way. Oh, maybe he's right. And I can imagine Judas expecting Jesus to agree with him. And maybe Judas is over there with his napkin trying to sop up some of the perfume and, you know, put in a little something that they can use later. Same happening. Different reactions. A lady is pouring out her heart of worship to God, and a man is barking like this was the worst thing that could ever happen in life. Wow. What might Mary have? I didn't mean to waste the perfume. I wasn't thinking about the poor. I'm sorry. Wow. But Jesus stepped in. Leave her alone. She's doing a good thing right now. Do you think the room was quiet? And everybody's remeasuring? Yeah, I did think it was a good thing. But Judas kind of had a point there. Now Judas has a decision. What's he going to do with the rebuke? Had Jesus ever rebuked any of the other disciples? Yeah. Sometimes in mass, right? What were you talking about along the road? Oh, we saw a bird and we were trying to figure out whether it was a robin or, you know, a turtle dove. No, that's not what you're talking about. Who's greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Come here. Let me show you a child. And remember the whopper that Peter pulled? This will never happen to you, Lord. What did Jesus say? Get thee behind me, Satan. You know, I always want the Lord to speak to me. But boy, if that's what he said to me, wow. That's the one thing I never want to hear. That was a harsh rebuke. But you know, Peter still was a disciple after that. He took his lump. He took his correction. He adjusted to Jesus rather than expecting Jesus to adjust to his expectations. Now, Judas is the guy. He's the one on the hot seat. He just got rebuked. What's he going to do with it? Well, what did he do with it? He determined to go the other way. See, Peter said, well, I must be wrong because I know he's right. Judas said, he must be wrong because I know I'm right. And I'm not going to put up with this anymore. In fact, I'm going to go see what kind of deal I can get to make up for the loss of this. I'm going to fill the bag one way or another. And he decided, I'm not yielding anymore. I'm not repenting anymore. I'm not going to feel that conviction. I'm not going to feel guilty for the way I want it to be. I'm just going to go do my own thing. You see, Mary got it right, but it went right over Judas's head. This is the only time this group is ever going to be there with Jesus. They've got this one moment to get it right. Mary sees the opportunity. You know, the older I get, the sappier I become. I don't mind telling people I love you. I don't mind telling people I really appreciate what you're doing. This is really good. Because I may only ever have that moment with them. I've lost enough to know I don't know when the last time is going to be ever. And I want to take the moment. You know, when I was younger, oh, well, they won't want to. That's too sappy. You've got to be macho. Shut up. Stop it. Remember when you were a kid and your grandma came or your Aunt Lucy that you hadn't seen for 6 months? Oh, how precious. What a little. Oh, I need a bath. I don't know. Ah, why'd they do that to me? Now that we're older, we know why. When we're on this end, we're not going to be here very long. And boy, we love youth, and we want you to know that we love you, and that you're special, you're precious, and all that. I'll pour my love on you. How long are we going to do this? How long is New Life Assembly a church? How often are we going to get together? Who might be missing even by next week? We don't know. Remember our dear friend Steve Gephardt? He and Candy went to bed one night. She was healthy as a horse. She never woke up. 51 years old. Wow. They did an autopsy and couldn't figure it out. What happened? Well, her name was called. So when you're having dinner tonight and you know your cross is coming on Tuesday or Friday or whatever else and you're all... Look across the table or living room, however you have dinner. Maybe just say some kind words. Maybe talk about their cross a little bit. Maybe just love on them for a little while. Because precious is the life we have and the time is short. And it's flying by. May it be said of us. I really like the way Libby closed the prayer this morning. I don't know if you caught it or not. She said, when we're on our way home, may we know we poured our worship out to you in full. We didn't hold anything back. I thought, wow, what a call to worship. That is good. By the end of today, may we be able to lay our head at the pillow and say, I lived it right. I said what I needed to say. I reached out. I communicated. Maybe there's something you've been putting off, a call or whatever. I remember I used to put off calling my mom because I hadn't called her for so long. I felt like a jerk calling her, and you know, and she was never one to say, why haven't you called lately or anything like that, but it just, you know, can't call her anymore. So we need to take advantage. But I have a wife, I have kids, I have grandkids. I reach out and touch somebody close. Judas had an opportunity to repent, to submit to Jesus' will, but he didn't do it. He didn't do it. He read the room different than everybody else. He thought he would. He wouldn't have said it out loud if he didn't think he was right, if he didn't think he was going to get, yeah, you tell him, Judas. Had no idea he was a lone voice until he said, but when he said it, he found that out. You ever thought you were right and found out you weren't? What do you do with that? Do you defend yourself? Do you go to your grave? You know, or do you say, I'm sorry. Boy, I read that wrong. I'm an idiot. Please forgive me. And turn it around. So, if Jesus walked into this room right now, how would you respond? Oh, I had plans for lunch, and now, oh, when are we finally... I know I'm ready to go, but the wife, she'll be talking to him for the next... My husband, he just... Are you ready to take care of what is most important in the moment? Or are you going to allow the cross that's coming on Tuesday or Friday or whenever to just overshadow the day? You're not really present. You're grumpy and grouchy with the folk who are there and so on. In the light of the cross, Jesus could stop and have a dinner party and enjoy his family and friends. May we gain that perspective too. When the cross gets here, God's going to help me with that. It's going to be all right. He promised he's going to be with me. I give that over to God's hands. Part of maturing is learning how to live even in the shadows of things that are coming. Let God help us with that today. For this morning, would you stand with me? I'll pour my love on you. Not just bring my requests, I bring my worship to you.
I don't know how to say exactly how I feel, and I can't begin to tell you what your love has meant. I'm lost for words. Is there a way to show the passion in my heart? Can I express how truly great I think you are, my dearest friend? Lord, this is my desire to pour my love on. I pour my love on you. If praise is like perfume, I'll lavish mine on you till every drop is gone. I'll pour my love on you. How I feel, and I can't begin to tell you what your love has meant. I'm lost for words. Is there a way to show the passion in my heart? Can I express how truly great I think you are, my dearest friend? Lord, this is my desire to pour my love on you like oil upon your feet, like wine for you to drink, like water from my heart. I pour my love on you. If praise is like perfume, I'll lavish mine on you till every drop is gone. I'll pour my love like oil upon your feet, like wine for you to drink, water from my heart. I pour my love on you. If praise is like perfume, I'll lavish mine on you till every drop is gone. I'll pour my love on you.
To God that that would be true, that we really would be pouring our love out to you every time we worship. God, thank you for coming to be our example. Thank you for setting a livable example. There are times of being poured out and there are times of being poured into. It's time just to enjoy a good meal. Lord, thank you for friends and family and loved ones. I'm sorry, Lord, for how much time I've missed with friends and family, even though I've been physically present with them, I've not been with them. Lord, help us to get better at that. And when there is a cross looming, when there is a next thing, and there always seems to be, that we'll put that in your hands. And we'll just trust you for that. You did say, take no thought for tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Help us to live in today and to live it well. To love the people that we love. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen.